Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? Sometimes you promote things maybe a little bit too well, and I think we did that tonight.
The only church hall in Townline, New York, is filled past fire code for a party. It's marking the 150th anniversary of this northern town siding with the South during the Civil War. Cannons sit in the parking lot. Ladies are in elaborate period dresses. Gentlemen swelter in woolen soldiers' uniforms. Brandon Adkins has even strapped on an authentic battle sword. He tells people he's a natural-born Confederate from upstate New York.
One guy, he was calling me a Yankee, and I says, excuse me. I says, I'm from Town Line. I says, I'm a Confederate. And he looked at me, he says, well, if that's true, he says, I'll kiss your rear end in front of everybody to see. He looked it up, and I guess he believes me now that they were the last of the rebels.
I mean, I was very surprised when I first heard it about 10 years ago. That I thought, no, you're come on.
That's Ray Ball, a local history teacher. According to him, townsfolk gathered at the local schoolhouse just after war broke out. After a rowdy discussion, they voted 80-45 to secede from the Union. Shortly after, Ball says, five local men headed south and joined the Confederate Army.
The country was literally coming apart at the seams, and the seams tore much farther north than most people realize. It didn't stop at Mason-Dixon. That's almost a bit of a mythology.
But locals are still unsure why Townline, just minutes from Canada, took such a dramatic step. Ball points out they supported Abraham Lincoln for president just the year before, and residents were mostly German immigrants without connections to the American South.
It had nothing less to do with slavery here, but so it had to be something beyond that. Why they voted the way they did.
Karen Moko, who runs the local historical society, has researched the story for years without finding the answer. But she says after the Civil War was over, Townline's secession from the Union was conveniently forgotten.
I think there was embarrassment that it had happened. There are no records that we know of. I mean, there could be in someone's attic or were and destroyed. So there is no names, which may have been, you know, that was on purpose.
So life went on. Residents paid federal taxes and opened a U.S. post office. Then in 1946, right after World War II, a local newspaper dug up the town's Confederate backstory.
Many young men had returned home from the war to find their homes were not part of the United States, and they were infuriated.
Word spread around the country. Telegrams flooded in, hounding the town to rejoin the Union. Even President Harry Truman wrote an open letter. So, bowing to pressure, a vote was scheduled. Back at the 150th anniversary celebration, the crowd watches grainy film footage of long-dead relatives casting ballots while B-list movie stars look on. Then they lower the town's rebel flag, which had flown on and off for 85 years. Now the town's looking to capitalize on the story. T-shirts are on sale for $20. A museum is in the works that will try to lure tourists.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Before the night is through, an Abraham Lincoln impersonator leads the crowd in the Pledge of Allegiance as an act of unity, he says, while facing both a United States and a Confederate flag. For InnovationTrail.org, I'm Daniel Robison.